Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The gospel lesson today says many things. The church is no place for contests about who is the greatest. It's no place for adults to lord it over children and somehow think they are greater. No, Christ, when he is wanting to show the greatest, he picks out a little child. He picks out the child to rebuke the adults for thinking themselves so great and so important. The same mind ought to be among us here at our Savior. Humility is a virtue. Pride is a sin. Now, the world would prefer the sin, and if you are of the world, you will prefer pride as well. But it is not meant to be this way in the Church of Christ, the Kingdom of God. With adulthood comes more service, more responsibility to others, most especially to children. The role of Christian parents ought to come to mind here. Jesus warns with the severest language about adults who would lead a child into sin. Not just those earthly sins we might think of, but also those sins against the first three commandments. That Jesus says it would be better to have a giant stone tied around your neck and be thrown into the sea than to cause a little believer to sin. This should serve as a great warning and a cause for each and every one of us to renew our Christian duty and calling to be the Christian parents or even the Christian adults that God has made us to be. And if you are given children this week, pick up the Bible and read the Bible to your kids. Pray with them. If they are grown up and gone, call them and remind them of the Scriptures and the blessing that being a part of the church really is. Encourage them. And if you have so wronged them, then humble yourselves and confess it to them. Let them see and hear your Christian humility. If God has not given you children, pray for those that do. And in your conduct through the church and through the world around us, show a love of children as well. Along with this severe warning comes also then Jesus' emphasis upon the special role of angels that look after children. If you think that you can pull something off in front of your kids or hurt other kids or think ill of them, if you think you can despise children, remember that those children are not alone with you, but their angels are also there, and those angels always see the face of the Father who is in heaven. Children have a special place in the kingdom of heaven. Why do you think the church goes all the way to baptize them and give them such a great gift? In the gospel lesson, Jesus also makes note of temptations to sin and how disastrous those sins can be. How precious is your faith in Christ and the gifts that you receive from him in word and sacrament? Jesus today in the gospel lesson basically says that nothing should be more precious than those things. Nothing should be more treasured than the eternal life that God has given to you through Christ Jesus. Nothing should be more precious, nothing should be more treasured. That sin, any sin, cannot become a pet sin or a favorite sin for you. Rebellion and pride and anger and lust and greed and covetousness and discontent and believing false doctrine, disregard for God or His Word, you are to despise these sins. You're to run from them. Flee from them, that they are evil things and they only seek to harm you, that you are to never embrace them because Jesus says that nothing in this life is worth losing eternity and finding yourself thrown into the hell of fire. That Jesus uses the example of a hand or a foot or an eye But it might be more striking today if he could have just as well added your internet connection, your cell phone data plan, your social media accounts, your house, your savings, your checking, your retirement, your hobbies, your sports, your entertainment, your fame, your pleasure, your ease, your comforts, your property, or any other thing which we too often hold on to as dearer than eternal life. You are to flee these things. Give them up rather than lose eternal life if they cause you to sin. Finally, the occasion of this day, the Feast of St. Michael and All Angels, is meant to teach you about angels, or better is to teach you to thank God for his work through the angels. That these angels show up throughout the scriptures. They guard the garden after the fall into sin. That Satan, once an angel, falls to the earth and is the one who draws Adam and Eve into sin. That angels are there with Abraham, with Lot, with Isaac, with Jacob, with Moses, with all of Israel, with Daniel, as we heard in the Old Testament lesson, with all the prophets, with Joseph and Mary, the shepherds watching their flocks by night, the Lord himself in the wilderness as he's tempted, and on the night in which he's betrayed, and with the disciples at the empty tomb, at the resurrection, at the ascension, and yes, with John in the book of Revelation, showing him how the church will go over the years. The angels are with the church, both in the early days and even up till now. That angels are there, they are residing in heaven, but yet visiting the earth, bringing messages, guarding and protecting people, striking fear, and yet speaking of peace, singing the Lord's glory, reveling in the unfolding of salvation's story, rejoicing in heaven over each sinner that repents, fighting back demons and the devil himself, and leading God's people around as God determines. They are at work at all times, perfectly, in the ways that God sends them to be at work. And this is meant to be a great comfort for us, that God has provided these creatures called angels for our good. You see, if God did not give his angels such a charge over us, to protect us and to guard us, we would be lost in some of the worst ways imaginable. For the angels protect us from the work and the wiles of the devil and all the demons, those other fallen angels. That the devil hates everything of God. This means that the devil hates the home, and he will seek to destroy the home. And by drawing out much sin through temptation, guess what? He's done so. That husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, children, all can tell the havoc that the devil tries to cause and tear into the home. Look at the broken families around our country and see the devil's handiwork. It's so common that sadly we think it's normal. But it's an evil lie. This should cause us all to pray to God to guard and protect our homes and the homes of others, our marriages and the marriages of others, from what the devil tempts and deceives us into thinking and doing. Instead, we should pray for homes of love and forgiveness, of enduring and letting love cover a multitude of sins. That should be our goal. With Christ among us, as his own children, raising the next generation of Christians rather than the next generation of former Christians. That the devil, by extension of wanting to destroy the home then, as you heard in the hymn, will want to destroy God's institution of the state as well, the government. That this is what we see in the Old Testament lesson, that here the Lord provides angels to protect and guide rulers where the devil wants to lead them astray into the mockery of God and the destruction of the peace of the nation and also the other nations under heaven. That the devil's chief enemy is always going to be Christ, however. So he goes after home and after state, both of which are of Christ. But to strike the final blow, he strikes at the heart of Christ. He strikes at Christ's bride, the church. This means you Christians, that if God did not keep you safe through the work of his angels, you would have no good but only evil. For the devil and the demons do not want anything good for you. This is why Jesus warns about sins that draw us away from him by wrecking our faith in him. For fear that the Lord himself would remove that guard over you and let the devil do what he does, bringing evils of body and of mind and of soul upon you in horrible ways. That this is what God does when he will allow us chastisement, when he indeed disciplines us to teach us the way of repentance and humility and trust or faith in him alone. It's his way of teaching us as children to learn and to trust and to give thanks to him for all things. For if you think that you can willfully dabble in sin, that God may indeed hand you to the devil for a time to be taught how not to blaspheme the word of God. And this is indeed a horrible position to be in, one which should draw us to repentance and faith in Christ and a desire to change our lives. That it is indeed better to lose something sinful that you might enjoy than to burn in fire. I am convinced that if we knew the traps and the snares and the tricks that the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh put in front of us, in front of our homes, in our state, and in the church, that we would die of fear. But our Lord has so guarded and protected us, using his angels to do so, that we can go by in life and being so guarded that even the devil would come and tempt us to think that these spiritual battles don't actually exist. But that lack of seeing those things is more a proof of how God protects and guards us. But the devil, of course, always hates everything that God has done in homes, in state, and in church. But despite all of his thousands of years of attacks, these things still exist. The things of God, the home, the state, and the church. That this is, of course, because of God's work through angels who guard and protect in spite of our many, many sins and offenses against God. That God has been gracious and merciful to the whole world. That his restraining of the pure rage of the devil by the strength of his might exercised by angels is proof of God's care and his love for us. That as we see these things damaged and maybe even getting worse, that it would cause us to repent of our many sins, according to which we would deserve nothing but such disasters. May we remember that we still possess and how we can still have be restored to us and give thanks to God for what he through his angels has spared us from. That we can't imagine the bad things that God's angels have prevented from coming to us. All of this can be terrifying. Yet the devil is defeated. That yes, he goes around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. But this devil is mortally wounded and his time is short. That thrown down from heaven to earth, and even here, the work of Christ has rendered him defeated. That as the angel announced from heaven, the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ have come. That no matter how bad the home, the state, and the church seem to be, the gospel still rings out. And it is the power of God to overcome all of the vexations and temptations and destruction that is intended for us. That Christ has atoned for the sins of the world. That the devil has been conquered by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, that is, the Holy Scriptures. That this little word, the word of the gospel, the forgiveness, that it can fell the devil. that the accuser, which is what the name Satan means, accuser, that he has been silenced, that he is no longer able to go into heaven to accuse those who belong to God, that the great dragon, the ancient serpent, has been struck down and wounded unto death, that his days are numbered and his fate is sealed in defeat, and that your days, because of Christ alone, are days of relative peace as you await the final day of peace yet to come, that your accuser has been overcome, the destroyer has been destroyed, that demons which mean you evil are put in check by God's command, that the sins you have meet their end in the blood which flowed out freely from Christ our Lord, that you have every promise and nothing but a yes and an amen from the Lord who baptized you, who made you as a little child and great in the kingdom of God. That do you realize what kind of blessing this is for you? That Christ's blood has covered your sins, and Christ's voice of absolution, that is forgiveness, has drowned out all the shouts of the devil about your sins. That the word of forgiveness has overcome the words of the accuser. That you should take that into your conscience and apply it. For the Lord's blood and the testimony of the Scripture is that you have a Savior. The very one who provides you, provides for your well-being by commanding His holy angels concerning you. That if you believe and are baptized, you are saved. But if you prefer sin, heed this warning, repent and believe. For indeed now is the time of your visitation, and it is a visitation of forgiveness. Do not let any temptation lead to sin that robs that forgiveness from you. For that is the greatest treasure, and the only source of victory over evil both in this life and the life to come. Instead, confess your sins this day, and flee from them as you rise to new life found in that forgiveness. For the Lord will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of God's ways, that you have been shown the salvation of the Lord, that it's yours, and may you treasure it. The last thing that the angels do for us is they take us home to be with the Lord. This is their last service to us for God. On that day, we will know, when the angels take us home, we will know all of that which we believed in this life. That on that day, we will see the heavenly choirs, the heavenly creatures. As we sing here in the church, we will be with the angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven. On that day, the angels will usher us into the very presence of our triune God by the blood of the Lamb. That there will be no more warfare and strife, no more sin or trouble, no more tears or suffering, no more devil or demons, but there will only be our God and His people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.